Goey spiritual. What do those four carols have in common? Any ideas? The last one is the big clue. They all mention the Virgin. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Virgin, mother and child. Hark the herald, we have late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. We have, O come all ye faithful, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. And then the Virgin Mary had a baby boy, it's there in the opening line. All of them mention the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, two of the four Gospels in the Bible tell the story of Jesus' birth, both Matthew and Luke. And both of them stress this point, that Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus. And so, by definition, and more importantly, Mary was a virgin when Jesus was conceived. Now, what do you make of that? I guess most people in our society would react in one of two ways. Firstly, or they say, or at least they think to themselves, what is it with the Bible and sex? Or secondly, obviously you don't expect me to believe that. Don't you know which century we're in? That would be the general responses of people in our society. Now, let me deal with the first question really quickly. Mary being a virgin had absolutely nothing to do with a negative view of sex. And a negative view of sex has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. In fact, the Bible has a whole book celebrating the buzz of erotic love. And it's not one to read aloud to your kids. Now, the point of the virgin birth is that Jesus didn't have a human father. Well, that's the claim, which brings me to the second common reaction. You know, it's just a myth. It's just a sort of pious cover-up. In fact, most people today would put belief in the virgin birth alongside belief in the tooth fairy, and well below belief in Santa Claus. You can get into trouble saying that Santa Claus doesn't exist, but no problem with denying the virgin birth. Educated people couldn't believe that, could they? Even church leaders have denied the virgin birth. Maybe they see it as a parable rather than a historical event. It's a way of saying something significant about Jesus. Well, let's turn the spotlight on the main objection to the virgin birth. And it goes something like this. People believe that sort of stuff in the olden days, but we live in the 21st century. In the age of science and technology. Well, that's how people think, isn't it? Now, I'd hate to upset anyone here, but let me just rephrase it. Today we know where babies come from. Really? And they didn't? We need to gently point out that the top 10 discoveries of the 20th century don't include the fact that a man is needed to make a baby. The ancients were just as aware of the facts of life. So what did Joseph plan to do when he found out that Mary was pregnant? He planned to divorce her quietly. Now, in those days, engagement was binding. So even though they hadn't come together as husband and wife, it would take a divorce to break that off. That was a different culture. Betrothal was as binding as marriage. So why divorce? Well, the problem was that Joseph knew exactly where babies came from, always, without exception. And he knew that Jesus, the baby in Mary's womb, wasn't his child. Fact is, people in the olden days were just as skeptical as today. A story about Jesus' father being a Roman soldier has been doing the rounds since the second century. Traced back to an anti-Christian Greek philosopher named Celsus. And so Joseph knew the facts of life. Now listen to Mary's response when she heard the news from the angel. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? So Mary knew where babies came from as well. And the angel's answer, Nothing is impossible with God. And that answer still works today. If there isn't a God, then of course there can't have been a virgin birth. But if there is a God, if there's a God who spoke the universe into being, a God who invented and programmed the DNA of life, then creating an embryo in Mary's womb is hardly a problem. So it's not olden days versus modern, but it's belief in God versus atheism. We need to see where the fault lines are. It's nothing to do with back then and here now. It's whether we believe in a God who made the universe, a God who intervenes. But you see, atheism has a far bigger virgin birth problem. The whole universe was born from nowhere. So we have to choose which of the problems we want. No one is expected to believe in the virgin birth in isolation. Even Mary was given evidence. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, infertile. And so Mary is told, look, this is the evidence. And what does Mary do as soon as the angel departs? Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. She checks out the evidence. It's her first response. She's not called to believe in isolation. She's called to believe as part of a worldview which believed that there was a God. The virgin birth only makes sense as part of the remarkable life of Jesus. 2,000 years later, we're still celebrating his birth. Despite what I said about the popular imagination, today, as just as much as ever, books are being wrote about Jesus, PhDs are being written, discussions are being had at all levels of our society. Why is that? Was he just a good teacher? Was he a misunderstood revolutionary? Even his enemies conceded that he was doing miracles. And whatever happened at Easter time, it transformed a bunch of frightened and disillusioned men into courageous preachers who turned the world upside down, who insisted that Jesus was alive. Given his remarkable life and the impact that he's had on society, it would be surprising if Jesus had a normal beginning. So don't be intimidated by that foolish statement, you know, people believed in that sort of stuff in the olden days. That's just naivety. Of a grand scale. The question is, God or no God? Everything came from nowhere by accident, or this world is the product of a creator. But why does it matter anyway? Putting aside the issue of that skepticism, what was the point of the virgin birth? Well, let me give you three answers to ponder this morning. What is the point of the virgin birth? Why does it matter? Even if, given that it happened, we take seriously what the Bible teaches, but why is it important? Why is it significant? Well, the first answer is this: God takes the initiative. God takes the initiative. You know, many people have a flawed view of Christianity, that if they know anything about it, that it's somehow about doing good things to get into God's good books. Sort of like the Santa myth. You know, if you're good, you get more presents. But nothing could be further from the truth. Christianity is about me and you being so far away from God and so disinclined to seek him and so set in our selfish ways that if God didn't take the initiative, all of us would simply live without God. So we would die unready to meet him, to our eternal regret. If anyone is to be delivered and rescued from themselves and from their path to hell, then God has to take the initiative. The answer isn't going to come from the human side. And it's going to take a miracle to even start putting things right. That's one of the messages of the virgin birth, that God takes the initiative. Now, it's not a very flattering message. But then again, do we want the truth? Or do we want sort of sugar-coated lies? No, we live in a day when it should be easier to swallow the humbling truth that we can't fix ourselves and our world. 5 million people have died from COVID. The ocean is full of plastic. Society seems more poisoned than ever, more polarized. Hardly a day passes without some media story of abuse or neglect or hypocrisy. Surely we can stomach this idea that we can't fix things and that we need help from outside if anything is ever going to be done. But you know, there's another storyline, isn't there? Look how quickly we got a vaccine. We can fix things if only we all pull together. Christmas is an ice-cold bucket of water on that belief, at least for the biggest problems of all. But that's also bracingly refreshing. It's a relief. God has done something. Christmas is God stepping in. So that's the first point of the virgin birth. It tells us that God takes the initiative. But the virgin birth is also about Jesus' unique identity. Think about it this way. Either the universe came from nowhere by accident and life created itself, or there is a creator. And if there is a creator, if there is a person behind this vast and intricate universe, then he will be so much greater than us, not just in intelligence and power, but even in his essence, in his being, in what he is. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. It teaches that within the one creator, there is a more than oneness, a plurality. There is an interpersonality of communication and delight, as if God were both a father and a son, eternally loving one another, and yet one God. You say, that's not like anything else. You say, no, of course it's not like anything else. God is not like anything else. God is greater. God is different. And if such a God wanted the divine Son to come into his world in a way that showed that now he was undeniably and obviously human, and yet just as undeniably God, what would be the best way to do that? What would be the best way to signal the arrival and the dual nature of God the Son coming into his world? Now a human birth would definitely show, wouldn't it, that he was human. But if human father would confuse the issue. After all, the Son is more than a human, and he is the Son in relation to a divine Father, not any human Father. What then? The virgin birth. Such an entry into the world makes perfect sense of Jesus' identity as God from God, and yet as truly human. If we think about it, what would be the best way to flag up from the very beginning of Jesus' life that he was fully God and fully human? And the answer is that a virgin birth is a perfect way of doing that. We say, yes, this is human. He's as human as me and you because he's come into the world in the way that everyone comes into the world. And yet, when we ask the question, who is his father? There is no man, there is no human answer to that. And therefore, we have to look further out to find the answer. And his father is God, not in some crude way, but in the way that God has for always been Father, and the one who came into the world has always been Son. They have eternally had this relationship. And that's how the angel explained it. He referred to an ancient prophecy. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Virgin birth perfectly points to Jesus' unique identity. But why does that matter to you? Well, apart from being the most astounding thing that has ever happened, and had ever happened up until that time, well, it ends once and for all the often cited objection, but no one really knows, do they? Have you heard people say that? You explain to them what you believe, or you talk to them about the evidence, but no one really knows, do they? People say. But if God has invaded his world in the person of his Son, we can know what he is like. We can know what he expects from us. We can know what is right and wrong. We can know truth. We're not lost at sea. We're not swept this way and that in a subjective moral relativism, a sort of modern postmodernism where truth is whoever holds the microphone. Truth is whoever qualifies as most worthy in our mixed up society. We don't need to be like that. We can have a real answer to what's true and what's right. A firm place to stand. That is what the unique identity of Jesus brings there. And this is exactly the point that John makes in his prologue to his gospel. He doesn't tell the story of Jesus' birth, but he explains its significance. He says, no one has ever seen God, but the unique Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. This makes sense of Jesus' own claim. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For a mere man to make a claim that would be arrogant, would make no sense. And yet, for Jesus to be God from God, the Son, of course, if he is the one that God has sent into the world, then he can rightly say this is the way back to God. This is the way to approach the Father. Those are not the words of a good teacher. Revolutionary, that's a massive claim. And Jesus backed it up once and for all by beating death. So we're looking at the implications of the virgin birth. We've seen how it shows that God is taking the initiative. We can't do anything. We can't sort ourselves out. We can't fix our world or our lives. But God has stepped in. And then we've seen how it points to Jesus' unique identity. Is he human? Of course he's human. He's been born. Who's his Father? God is his Father. If God is his Father, then he is fully God. The third and final thing has to do with Jesus' mission. Why did Jesus come? Well, the clue comes by realizing that there has been another man in human history without a human father. There's been another man in human history without a human father. Who was that? Adam. Adam. The first man cannot have had a human father, by definition. Because if the first man had a human father, then he wouldn't be the first man. The Bible teaches that the first man brought death into the world by turning away from God. And that is why we die. Because now there is something warped in the fabric of the universe and something warped in the depths of human beings. We die because we are rebels, and treason in God's world is a capital offence. We're all born at war with God because we're children of human and life, the first pair, Adam and Eve. But Jesus wasn't born at war with God. Every child which is born into this world is defined by the fact that they are a son of Adam. That's the only thing that defines them. Just as if our country was at war, a child that was born into the country would be born at war, wouldn't they? Because that's what defines them, that they are born into this. But Jesus wasn't born at war with God. He wasn't defined as a son of Adam because he already had a relationship to God. He was already the Son of God. He was already perfectly united with his Father. It's another vital reason for the virgin birth. Is it shows that the link has been broken, that Jesus is not defined in this way. Jesus could come as the rescuer from God. Jesus could come as God to the rescue. So why did Jesus come? Well, Jesus came because there's something that human beings can do that God can't. You know that? There's something that human beings can do that God can't do. What is that? Die. Die. Jesus had to be born so that he could die. The whole point of Christmas is to set the stage for Easter. The baby in the manger doesn't make any sense until you understand the man on the cross. The virgin birth is not the really unbelievable thing. The really astounding thing is that God loved the world so much that he gave his unique son to be born and to live and to love and to die so that whoever puts their trust in him need not perish but have infinite, unending life. And that too is what the angel said to Joseph right at the very beginning. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What's the point of the virgin birth? God takes the initiative. points us to Jesus' unique identity. It points us to Jesus' mission to reverse what went wrong at the very beginning. You know, it's popular to claim that Matthew and Luke made up their accounts of the virgin birth. But that just doesn't make any sense. Think about it. They would have never invented such a story because it was so risky. It was so open to misunderstanding. No, it has been misunderstood down the ages. A whole false doctrine of virginity has sprung up as if that were more spiritual than married life. Hence the required celibacy of Roman Catholic priests. Totally unbiblical. And then there were the Greek and the Roman myths. Stories of gods fathering children with mortal women. And yet that's an impression that Matthew and Luke would want to avoid at all costs. And yet they included this description of the virgin birth. And it was just an obvious target for ridicule and scorn. And just as much then as it is today for that knowing nod. Yeah, right. It was like the stories of women finding the tomb empty. This wasn't an asset. This was a soft target. But Matthew and Luke are determined to tell the story of the virgin birth. Why? Why tell such a risky story? Because it's true. Because it happened. And because of all the risks of misunderstanding it, the truths that it suggests are far more important. God has taken the initiative. Jesus is unique, fully human, fully God, two natures in one person. And Jesus has come to put right what the first man messed up. You know, all human history is a history of progress. But it's the sort of progress that you make when you miss the turn and keep driving. You know, we're going forward. Jesus has come to be the new human. The new first human. Trusting in him means joining the new humanity. Sharing in the suffering of this world. Indeed, inviting more trouble and more trial by following Jesus, but also sharing in the hope of the life to come. That's the invitation at Christmas time. Get more trouble. Not only the troubles that you've got as part of being just a member of this broken world, but get all of the trouble as well of being part of the Christian community, which is frowned on, to say the least. Come and make life more complicated and more difficult. But get eternal life as well. Get a heavenly Father who loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ who leads you. A glorious future. Every birth is a new beginning. And we celebrated, didn't we, such a new beginning with baby Sam born 5 or 6 weeks ago. Every birth is a new beginning. But to mix metaphors, the virgin birth is the mother of all new beginnings. That makes it an invitation to a new beginning for anyone. Anyone who will come to God on his terms. Anyone who will go beyond the manger to the cross and to the empty tomb. Anyone who will put their faith in Jesus, God with us. You could do that now in your heart, crying out to God. Or you could determine to find out more. Join in one of our 10 questions courses in the new year. Why not meet up for a coffee just to get your questions answered? Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas. May that be true for all of us in 2022. Amen. Let's close by singing one of those songs from the songs that mention the virgin birth. Hark, the herald angels.